What's up?
T-Will, my man.
It's strange. It made me go through, it wouldn't let me open the app. It made me
really?
It made me go through, the Safari. Strange. Anyway, told you.
Super annoying. That's super annoying. All right. Let's dive in, man, and let everyone know what we're going to be doing on this episode. Super chill episode.
Yeah, it's the first one in a while where we haven't had a guest, or first one pretty much ever. So
yeah,
since the very beginning, but
the very first episode,
we're gonna just look a little bit at what's been going on in the tour, and I don't know, I found a few interesting things that we could talk about. So
yeah, I mean for us, any cyclist, that's one of the their favorite things is to just usually ride to a coffee shop and talk about the tour or talk about any pro race that's kind of going on at that time. And I remember that was one of my favorite things to do with you, is kind of go over the races, just talk a bunch of shit and just enjoy it, So yeah, we're just going to be super chill, super relaxed and excited to kind of hear people's feedbacks. And, we'll do this will be the first week. So today is the first rest day of the tour. And so we'll do this week, do next week, and then obviously the third week, final week. But right. So yeah, where do you want to get started, man? Stage one or
we
just kind of go with just, or did you have like convo?
Yeah, we can go through stage by stage. Stage one was Alexander Kristoff won. Mads Pedersen was second. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought that was.
I mean, he's world champion, but
I mean, any winner though in those conditions is always impressive. I feel like definitely worthy winner of the day for sure with Kristoff. I mean, he's a guy that always wins in those really difficult days and, really brutal days, obviously with his Norwegian, background, but really cool stage. I loved it.
Yeah. It wasn't this stage. It was a second stage, but one thing that I definitely, that stage has been beat to death in a lot of ways as far as, all the crashing and things like that happened. So
totally,
everyone kind of knows what went on there, but
yeah, it was just a day kind of survival, getting through it and just, getting through safe. Obviously we saw with Pavel Sivakov chasing all day was pretty crazy. And, with him being the next teammate, it was, it's just pretty cool cheering him on and, but also crazy just seeing him at his first tour go through so much. And, especially when he's so talented, it was unreal. I remember
you teammates with him.
Yeah, I was teammates with him the final year of BMC Devo. It was Pavel. You had Pascal. You had Brum Welton, who's now on Arkea. I mean, just everyone after that year just went on. Because we also had Killian, who just took off those final 2 years, man. Yeah, so sure. I remember we did Iosta, and Pavel was just unreal and just destroyed everyone. So it was pretty cool to see him now in Team Sky and up there, but bummer of seeing in the crashes, but yeah.
And then I don't know, I thought stage two was a little better. We have a fantasy league in our team going. Well, it's me, Justin, Hunter Grove,
really,
and Corey. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm smacking down on everybody right now, but I had
on your team.
I had Alaphilippe picked for stage two. And so I had Alaphilippe and Higuita. And who else did I have? Alaphilippe, Higuita, Guillaume Martin, and I had Carapaz. So I had four in the top 20. But yeah, I mean, this was the first day that we saw Hershey be up there, which we would see the other day. So that was a perfect Alaphilippe stage, and all reliable. Greg Van Avermaet was fourth, so that was.
Yeah, Alaphilippe just again coming out and swinging hard, and definitely, I find it's just so crazy to me. All these journalists or people, would be like, "Oh man, he hasn't won as many races this year," or and I'm like, "Well, there's been COVID, you idiots. Nobody's had as many races anyway." You know what I mean? There was that giant gap, and then they tried squeezing everything in. And Like, yeah, I think he's, I mean, those guys.
I mean, he put his eggs in the tour basket for sure. So,
dude, well, and I just feel like, too, with COVID and everyone knew, like, all right, the eggs are, like you said, in the tour basket. Like, that's all that kind of matters. And those guys know how to get strong for that. You know, they were not at home sitting down, chilling. Like, they were training, you know, their asses off. Like, I mean, you were, like you said, during that whole time, that whole spring, you were at your best fitness you've ever been at. You know, so those guys were, I'm sure, just training just as hard, you know, and so I can't even imagine. I mean, the first few days look just, I mean, this whole first week, the speeds have just been unreal.
Yeah, that stage was hard, for sure, no doubt. Now, first rant was stage three, where
what's that?
You in one, Sam Bennett was second, Zolo third, Hofstetter fourth, and Sagan fifth. And dude, I don't know if anyone else noticed, but, like, so I've been watching Sagan race, like, all the races before, kind of, like, leading into the tour. I watched him at all the Italian stuff that he did. And one thing I, like, noticed him doing is, like, he's kind of started going, like, every sprint he'll start it at, like, 300, which is just way too early. And I feel like it's just, like, a total, I'm being very...
Very kamikaze like, move.
Well, yeah, but I'm being very critical here because it's like obviously like the standard is different for him, but like the fact that he's just starting every sprint at 300, it just kind of seems like it's just like
set up for failure.
It's a little bit half-assed. It's just the man could he's already in perfect position. He could wait till 200 and get like second, which, but or maybe he could win even. I don't know. He's not as fast as Ewing or Bennett, but. The going from 300 thing is just, oh no, man. He doesn't have the, no one really can do that these days. And like, he doesn't have it. Like, he doesn't have it like he used to, for sure. Like, without a doubt, no question. Like, he's not what he used to be. You can see it every time he, like, the way he races.
I think just that's like, a motivation thing, though.
Well, he has it. It's totally. Yeah, but you have it when you have the motivation.
And I think that guy's, though, so talented. Like, I mean, we saw when he was younger, it seemed like he would, you know, just on a whim, on just feeling with the motivation, do anything.
But
you
with,
know?
Like, because it was like, it looked more fun.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, my gosh. When you see, what was his first green jersey when he was 18 or whatever? Or 20?
It's like 2012.
So 13. 2012. I mean, and we're in 2020 now. So, I mean, and he was trying to, what, do 8 green jerseys this year or 7?
He's going for 8. I mean, like, look.
8,
look,
dude. That's 8 years.
I'm hating a little bit. I'll recognize.
I think,
I'm
I mean, everyone, everyone but I just, gonna hate like, on
I'm not, the, the. It's just like, sorry. Dude, don't send it, like, 300. Like, come on, man. Like, you're better
than
that.
Oh, I agree.
That's what
I've
I'm saying.
That.
It's just like,
dude,
he's better
I've
than
seen
that.
The come motivation's on. Not there. I've seen he's, you know, and it's a bummer because he's amazing. But you also get it. You also get, like, dude, you've been in this game now for 10 years,
oh, wow.
over 10
yeah,
years,
no
and been, like, have done more in the sport than, you know, basically anybody. And now the sport is asking, you know, now people are just, like, see, kind of what Lance, I felt like, were going after 7th. It was just, like, so impossible that the expectations, you just, like, you know what I mean? They start making, impossible expectations for this athlete,
yeah.
you know? Or just start picking things, and it's, like, man, it's got to, like, you know how hard it is waking up day in and day out training, you know, and 6 hours, 5 hours, you know, like, they, you know, after day, after year, like, that's for
it's
him.
It's a little bit
like,
easier when you make $7 million, I feel like, but, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely, if you're, like, that's, I totally agree, like, I believe money, you know, it talks in every
easier.
Other sport, it
yeah.
talks in every other sport, it motivates, and that's what I find so funny is, like, why is it not in our sport, you know? And I get, yeah, because we haven't figured out how to get the revenue or TV streams and everything, whatever, branding. But, like, we cyclists are the most – dude, are you kidding me? The polka dot jersey. I used to value the polka dot jersey better than the yellow. And then I found out the other day as they're sprinting for it that the winner of that, like, sprint point of the day gets only 250 points – I mean, $250.
Really?
And, dude, Bob Roll and Phil, whatever, they're going crazy. Like, oh, man, this guy's won almost 4 points. He's almost to $1,000 today. What? $1,000 to split
Well,
with
you know, you if you
six
win the if you
teammates.
win the green jersey, if you win a green jersey, the intermediate sprint, it's like 1,700.
1,700. Oh
Yeah,
my.
I mean, it's not
Still,
bad
dude,
for
no, think
intermediate
about it.
sprint.
Think, no, think about this. Think about this. An NBA player
Oh,
gets
well, come
paid
on.
15 million for a year to, and how long are they on the court? Like,
Hey, man,
and like,
it's
dude,
not
we're doing,
apples to
this is the
apples.
hardest, dude, I know, but I'm saying this is the literally the hard, it's just like, I feel like people are just, it's almost laughable. Like, you see these guys suffering so hard and sprinting so hard, and we've made it, and I get it, like, it's nice having, like, we've made it so big in our heads, and I get it, like, you have to have that respect for the jerseys and, like, honor it, but, like, where I throw down $10,000 for each of those points or those sprints, then we're gonna have a real race.
Yeah, I think okay.
Then we're gonna have a real polka dot
I
jersey
mean,
winner
you're
instead of this guy who's getting dropped with the green jersey, you know? Or like the other day, he had to beg the Bora team to like slow down so he could cross the line in front, dude. Come on, man. That's pathetic.
the like, so there's two things with that though. Like, one is you can complain that like so they haven't raised I know, I remember Lance saying this on his podcast, and I was like, really? That's interesting. Is they haven't raised the prize money for the tour since he did it.
No
So, like, what
way.
Lance won in like 99 is like still what the winner wins.
Wow. Do you know what that is?
It's like 200 or 400,000 for the GC.
Yeah.
But then, like, I think, and then it's like maybe 60 or something for the polka dot jersey for the overall 1,000. So I mean, like, there's some money there, but it's like the fact that it hasn't gone up in 20 years is a bit silly. But then anyone listening to this who's in women's cycling is going to be like, well, we get like you win the women's La Corse or whatever, and it's like, I don't know, they probably make 1,500 or 3,000 euro or something like that. Like, it's kind of as laughable. It's kind of embarrassing for cycling
Oh, but I
that
mean that's
they
how we
only
are in the other men's sports, you know what I mean?
yeah
So
it's
it's
just
like,
it's anyway, rant over about the tour.
all
Well,
right,
prize
yeah.
money,
Let's
but
get what
I
we're
don't
on
want to
stage
shut you
four.
down, but
Stage
yeah.
four.
Oh, one more, actually one more
I
rant
just think
about this
it's
stage.
ridiculous that you're
Well,
suffering. It's
yeah.
literally, they say it's the hardest thing you can do. And like I said, I think it. I legit think they need to find some rich guy or whatever and do $10,000 for each sprint. And dude, for reals, then you're gonna see real people targeting like that
This was
stuff.
also the
I
stage
mean,
that there was just Jérôme Cousin in the breakaway, just the one guy all day.
oh my gosh, that was crazy when the
Which,
Cofidis, when they two when the two guys dropped out and left him out there.
yeah, I think
Oh
it
my
was
gosh.
that yeah.
What were you thinking in that moment, man?
Well, so when I turned it on, it was he was just already alone. So I was just like, well, that's really lame that there's only one guy in the breakaway. But at the same time, that's what happens when they only ever give the breakaway like 2 minutes. Like,
Yeah,
as someone who was like who did that quite a
crazy.
lot in my career, like, it's just like super annoying. Like, you know, it's not that.
There's no chance.
I mean, right, but then you saw like 2 days later, zero, which was, in my opinion, like, that was a joke.
Dude, that was crazy. That
That
was
was a
I
joke.
ne I can't. That's never even happened too. That's never even
No, it
happened.
has. In
Oh, and the,
2008, it was the
oh
last time
wow,
that had happened. But it
but
had happened before. But it's
still, it
stupid.
was
It's
like,
just like,
come
come on, this
on.
is a tour. You're not
Nobody
gonna.
wanted a race that day.
Or, yeah. I
I
mean,
mean, our attack.
yeah. I just was like, that was embarrassing. Or not embarrassing. It was disappointing, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I thought both those 2 days were super. I mean, super disrespectful. I mean, and just because
To the
again,
race.
yeah, well, and yeah, to the fans and organ, like, they're, dude, they are entertainers.
I just couldn't
Athletes
believe
are
like a team like
entertainers.
CCC or someone who doesn't have a sponsor
Didn't
for next year wasn't like, all right, here, we're gonna go play
jumping
on
all over
TV
it,
for 4 hours. Like, what?
dude. Yeah, I couldn't believe that, but you know,
Seems like a
it's
bad business plan, but
with those, and especially with those two riders. Like, I know they were targeting the KOM jersey, but purposely dropping out of the break and leaving that guy was just like, what? Like, I'm now t absolutely doomed for failure, and now I'm just going to be, you know, stuck. Like, I have to keep going. Like, he can't also drop back like those guys, you know? And it was just, to me, like, come on. And then, like you said, the next day where the snow break, just, yeah, super big bummer. I mean, fast. Yeah, what was what stage was that? Stage four? Stage five?
Three. It was 37K an hour, the average.
Incredible. Crazy.
Yeah. Stage four was the first stage of that first mountaintop-ish finish. The stage that Roglic won. Pogacar, second.
So good. Martin. Shout out to our boy, Sep, on the podcast.
This is where we saw the first real true Sep sighting.
It's where we saw and also let's mention Sylvain too, because after Sylvain was on the podcast, he actually then got in a leader's jersey at his next stage race as well.
Right.
So hopefully Matteo has a good week this week at Tirreno. You know, maybe it'll show that it's good vibes for talking to us on the podcast.
That would be a good way to get some cool people.
Oh man, I mean, Keegan won a mountain bike race after us.
True.
So
true.
Let's.
This stage, I don't know. You watched this stage, yeah?
Oh, dude, I've been watching every stage.
Yeah. It was. I mean, the impressive thing I saw. It wasn't like the climb was super fast. I don't know if you noticed. Like they were doing they were doing almost 20 miles an hour up the climb.
Yeah.
So it's not that surprising that it was like such a big group. I think also that has to do with like everyone being at a pretty high level.
Yeah.
And then, but like Wout was tearing them up.
Dude.
And then Sep was good. And this is I think the first time that Dumoulin was like, oh, I don't got it.
I don't want to be a leader.
I don't got it. This is because yeah. You could just see him. He wasn't behind Roglic. He was like about like 8-9 wheels back, just like chewing on a stem the whole time.
Early on, we even say to the media, like, you know, it's me and Roglic. And you're like, yeah, is it?
It's
is
not,
it, man?
Really.
It's not. It's only in your head, man. Sorry, dude. But yeah, then, and you'd see him too, even play like, he wouldn't even sit behind Roglic sometimes. He'd be like farther back in the group on those climbs you'd see. And then, yeah, like you saw that day, he just got blown out with those guys. But I mean, dude, Gil Martin's sprint, man, that we started that mixing that up to really kind of then put Sep in his place was just unreal.
Yeah,
that was cool with Copidius.
He's
too.
A big talent, and I'll take credit for picking him on my fantasy team because
him on the fantasy team.
Yeah, he was a steal, man. Oh, so
dude,
so little points for so many points that he scored me so far.
What he is tearing it up.
Yeah,
how old is he?
He's you know, he won 11 year, the year that Adrian Costa was third. So he's kind of
really
like 23, maybe 22, no 23, something like that. He's a pretty young guy. But
so,
he's been there. He was on Wanty for a long time.
Oh, that's right. He had didn't he do well at Liège or
he did good. He was at the tour last year. He was up there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He looks talented. So good. Super impressive. Super cool to see. For Cofidis too. I mean, that's crazy.
Absolutely.
They haven't won a
stage in 18 years. I hope he wins the stage. It'd be cool.
Oh, I think he. I mean, and he just looks cool too. I think when he attacked there with like, what was that 350, 400?
Yeah.
It was far.
Yeah.
And I mean, it really. I can't believe he held on to it.
Yeah.
It looked like, who was it that came up on him? But he kept up and he kept his pace and
Roglic.
He passed. Yeah.
Or
so,
Alaphilippe.
Not yeah, or someone remember. Like that, but. Yeah. Anyways, no, Roglic and
Pogacar.
Yeah. Dude, that's super cool. Those two, 1-2. Yeah, I mean, and Sep that day, I mean, he always reminds me of kind of like Pantani when he loves his drops.
Mm.
And you know when he's super good, just like at Tour of Utah, he was just always in his
climbing
drops,
in the drops.
Sprinting
yeah.
away. So, I mean, it was super cool to see him. And you could see like, he just was G, you know, because he always likes to have his glasses off so you can kind of just see his face. And I don't know, you could just, I don't know, that it just looked like he was so in his zone and it looked awesome, man. It looked way cool.
Yeah. Then stage five was the day with no breakaway, which interestingly enough, you would think that being that there was no breakaway, it would have been super easy and like slow, but they averaged 26 miles an hour, 42. Okay, so like they were there. It wasn't like they weren't.
I mean,
like
wasn't it a tailwind?
It was
that was the reason for basically the no.
Well, it was mostly
kinda.
Downhill.
So slight tailwind. So it's just gonna be fast. So nobody knows they're kind of gonna have a chance, basically, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, still, like, no one wanted to get on.
That
TV,
was the day Wout won that one.
And Wout, yeah, Wout won.
I mean, he in the interview, he was like, dude, that was the easiest, you know, besides obviously the final when they're really going fast.
But one thing that I noticed that day, and I saw it on Twitter, like a behind the scenes kind of video, was you know how when we were talking with Sepp, he was like, what Primo said to him was like something like you can go for the win, but like better be good tomorrow kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah, be ready.
And I kind of got like that vibe out of Roglic when he was. I saw like a video with him congratulating Walt, and I was like, how was it for you? And he goes, oh, it was like real scary, huh? Like, and I'm just like, dude, like man won the stage. Like he's probably been riding in the front for you all day. Like calm yeah. down, just be happy. But for sure, like you know, he's pretty stressed out because.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Bigger fish to fry, but still,
I can't even imagine the tension and just yeah, with all the build up towards this race and this year, and
it's hard to not give a guy like that like a little bit of leash to go win stages when he can kind of do whatever he wants. But
he's a wild one. I think especially after this tour, you're going to see a way different rider. Like yeah. I mean, just dominating the classics. I think just because. Just the confidence boost and how he's winning these stages is just incredible. Without a lead out, like, it just shows how cool he is. And watching him, it reminds me a lot of watching, like, Fabian Cancellara on the early, like, CSC days just power up those mountains. Just this big dude, muscular dude, and just rip up it. So, super cool, you know, seeing him just crush it. I am definitely a big fan of Lotto Visma or Jump. Yeah, Lotto Visma. So
no,
or
Jumbo Visma.
So now they've been crushing it.
Then stage six, Nielsen was in the breakaway.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Lutsenko won. Yeah, we can definitely get for sure we could get Nielsen on at some point.
Yeah, reach out.
Yeah, I thought Nielsen was really strong. I mean,
dude,
he definitely like. Got a little overly confident, which you could see what happened there. Because he was like lighting him up, and then he paid for it in the end. It was interesting. I was like super impressed with like Harada because he was like off the back pretty much that entire climb, and then just ended up like picking his way through all those dudes. But I mean, still like Nielsen's like you know he was that breakaway was no joke. He finished with Van Avermaet in third, fourth. So
yeah, no, it was super.
You're
cool.
In the front of the Tour de France. You're doing something
another young
really
American.
Well.
Yeah, another young American up there, and he was just yeah, that was awesome watching him on the second to last climb, throwing it down hard, like real hard, back to back, and I mean yeah, you can totally see just the excitement and being at the Tour de France, getting to him and just pushing him to you know real attack there, and because I mean you could even see like it in his face when it kind of came to the line, it looked like he. Kind of was thinking that Van Avermaet would give him the state, like the third. You know, like it honestly looked in his face, I think, and the way he was riding, he wasn't eyeing Van Avermaet. And Van Avermaet is the gold medal. Like, he's going to race you no matter what, man. No matter, I mean, when we would train with him in Belgium, he would push us to like race us like he was racing Roubaix, man, like from the start. So, like, that's racing, you know, and I'm also pretty tired of people like, you know, like I said, like, oh, can you have, like, let this burnt man have it. Let him, like, sit up, you know. And it's like, no, man, this tour has shown, like, Harada, you know, like, hanging in there. Like, they were on, the commentators were just talking so much trash on it, man. And it was just crazy, like, because, I mean, he was cool, calm, collected, and held himself together. And, yeah, it was just, you know, sadly, one guy away. And, it's been cool seeing, like I said, Cofidis out there really battling for it. You can see everyone's hungry for it. So, but Lutsenko, man, he was a beast. That was incredible.
Yeah.
So
it was a good stage, actually, that one. Although yeah. I was disappointed because I thought that the GC guys would get after it a bit, and they didn't.
Yeah, that one ended with what? Because
was that a pretty
the
big
day
bunch.
Before. The day before was when Alaphilippe lost the jersey, right? Was that stage four?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, that's what I also – I mean, that was ridiculous, man.
Mm.
Come on.
Oh, like, yeah.
I get the bottle, dude. I get the bottle. And, like, if it's a fast final 20K, because that can be crazy dangerous. You know, like if you're those guys are ripping around 60 kilometers per hour on the flat and you have some guy trying to hand out a bottle, that could cause a major crash.
It but just like, seems like a stupid rule. You 20, could easily, yeah, time, it needs like, to be, give a fine. 20-second well, time
it's,
penalty.
It's like, just like, use what? Your head. Yeah. Be human. Like, I get there needs to be rules, but look at it was on a slight hill. He was at the front. He could easily grab it. He easily grabbed it. It didn't affect anything. Like, it's not going to – he didn't ride away and, you know, put a minute into the Peloton. So it was just like – that was such a – I cannot believe that, you know, especially at the Tour. And I don't know. It was just – come on, that was a rule like that. You're gonna enforce that on the especially on the yellow jersey. I felt like that was just
it's ridiculous. Just a it's just a dumb. It's just like it, the crime doesn't really match the penalty there. Like I don't know.
Like I mean, he was in the yellow jersey. I mean, 20 seconds. Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, for someone who's not going for the GC, who maybe that fine normally happens to, no problem. You know, but for someone like Alaphilippe, where he was like, you know, that really, I think, threw the wrench into his motivation, you know, because it, you know, motivated him off anger for the next day to attack and win this bunch sprint and get that 1 second back. But I felt like it then just was kind of just that, like, oh, man, all right, they took it away from me, so I might as well now just kind of focus on stages or something, you know?
True, yeah, yeah. So, I think you would see him fight later.
Harder. Oh my gosh, that's what's a bump. That's what's so sad is I think he would have still, you know, still been quite up there, you know, because he was a fighter and you could see in those first round days he was holding well and yeah, he would get dropped but fight back. And like I think, I mean, we saw from last year he was climbing up there, you know, so he's still, I think he still would have been at least top 10. So
yeah, then the next day was a cross one day, just I don't know. I feel like the days I like watching these days the most, actually. Hated them the most racing, but definitely liked them the most to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was the worst. I mean, it's always the best to watch because you don't have to do it, but
yeah, this is
I remember any time you'd have a hint of wind,
a little flag flutter, and you're like, "Oh, shit.
Oh my gosh!" Your stomach would get so sick, and dude, no, yeah, like, you'd no. see flags.
It's funny
you'd
now see because
teams on the front just getting ready to line it up, and you'd be already, you know, 50 guys back, and you know, you're just doomed.
It's funny doing races around here. I see some wind, and I'm like, "Oh hell yeah, let's go!"
Yeah,
my team. The first race we did as a team this year was in Santa Barbara, and it was kind of windy, and I had that whole team on the front going as hard as we could straight up the gate. But man, yeah, it's because it's just more fun being the hammer than the nail in that situation.
Yeah, for sure, well, I mean, you know? Like, Europeans,
it's just different there.
It's in their DNA to race in that. I mean, when you live in Belgium and race in Belgium every week, or in Holland or something, you're getting, or in Britannia, or you're getting blasted, man. But and
Sepp got and that then, day in the front group.
Yeah, that was impressive. That was impressive. Really sad for Pogačar, obviously flatting, or sorry, having his mechanical or whatever. But
yeah, Pogačar lost out. Landa lost out.
Yeah, but I mean, dude. I mean, I never thought or saw Landa really as the winner. I could see him as a fifth man, but
it's a Landa kind of tour, man.
You think
it's an uphill TT at the end.
I mean, I guess he's just so quiet.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll just run through.
So Wout also won that day in the wind. Another incredible.
I mean, he would have probably ridden a ton in the wind that whole day too. So he probably pulled those dudes around all day long, and then still just whooped everybody in the sprint.
Just kill them. And it's just hilarious, kind of seeing these sprint teams, you know, trying to do all this work, and then Caleb just dominating.
Sagan had whatever have happened there. His chain came off or whatever happened, but
yeah.
That was definitely disappointing. And also, Alaphilippe, he had this is, I think, how you kind of started to see the end of, like, Alaphilippe It was yeah. like, I don't know how it was in his head a bit, because like that move at the finish line, he like bumped into that guy. He like literally turned right and bumped in it and just threw a tantrum.
And did you? And it was like, that was your fault.
He was just like, dude, you like turned totally right into that guy. But okay.
I mean, that was just seeing a chicken trying to sprint with the bulls, man.
There was a few like pretty good GC guys that did lose time. Like we saw like Carapaz lost time, Pogačar, Landa, Balcomolomo lost time.
Yeah,
I mean, he's gonna be a top tenner, and Port lost time.
Port, yeah, that's what I was about to say.
And Port lost time, so like those five, that's like five pretty legit dudes that all lost a minute 20.
What are you thinking about Port?
I think that man should have been with his wife having a baby instead of going to get 10th on the tour.
Yeah,
that's what I think. And I heard that the next day that his wife had a baby overnight, and he's on the Tour de France trying to get 10th. I was just like, bro, go home. Like, what are you doing, man?
Like, I mean, I just feel like
it's... I understand the tour, but there's other grand tours this year. There's not even a full chance that this tour is going to happen, and you're going to go there to get 10th. Like, just what are you doing, man? It's just, I couldn't imagine you making that decision. Like, that's nuts
to me. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I mean, but dude, someone who's probably like that in that position as the GC leader of the team, getting paid that. Yeah. It's also probably just like
grand tours, bro.
Like, do you think he can win the race?
I mean, that's the only reason I could imagine that you would not be there for the birth of your child, but okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, why would you like,
I don't know, man. That's whack. That's totally whack.
But I mean, obviously, I've never done the tour. You've never done the tour, so we don't know, obviously, what that maybe the vibe's like, or I don't know. I don't know. We're not getting paid. So
maybe
like,
that's the commitment I didn't have. That's very possible.
Oh, I mean,
but good Lord, that's like, just rough.
Last year, I remember seeing a tweet by like some guy on like I think Quickstep or something, and he was like talking about like tweeting like, yeah, I've been like away for, you know, 2 months, you know. Sad commitment, but loving it, you know, like, and it's just like, dude, I can't.
Well, like, we did that. There's just different horses. There's levels to that. That's just, it just seems, I mean, for sure, like, Keith probably thought, like, when they probably thought that baby was going to happen in September and the tour had been done for like 2 months already, you know, but
yeah. But I mean, we are where we are, you know, they're at the tour, we're doing what we're doing. It's just different vibes, different.
I'm just going to say tribes. how messed up that is, but okay.
So,
like, man,
dude, yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I think for someone like who's not, like, he's not gonna win, so it's like, again, I would have stayed home and looked at the bigger picture and, like I said, gone to the Velta or something, and because how can you enter that tour? I feel like if you're poor and kind of feeling like you're gonna beat Roglic and, you know, or any of those, but again, we're not in his position of getting paid that much and being looked at as the team. You know, like leader.
Another small rant is if you look at the results from this day, Egan Bernal is 8th, Adam Yates is 9th, Valverde is 10th, Warren Barguil is 14th, Higuita is 17th. Like, those are all like micro climbers, like little guys. Sepp in the front group at 40th. All the people who think that, oh, I'm a climber, so I can't ride on the flats. Yeah. No, nah, man. Like, those guys are you. That's the level. Like, you better be able to roll Peter Sagan in a sprint. Like,
dude, the race is so close now and so fast and so, like, in the details, basically, you know, so, you know, what's the team sky kind of thing? I don't know. Marginal
gains.
Marginal gains. Thank you.
Minimal gains.
So the rate.
Minimal gains this year.
Everything is so minimal. Yeah, it's so small and so close. And it keeps getting close.
But
crazy like that, because you may remember watching Lance and I just like those tours where people were like
chilling,
putting minutes, and like they could be like, oh, I could lose. You know, the old climbers could be like, oh, I could lose a little bit of time on the cobble stage or the flat days because they knew they could make it up. You know, like Pantani would go on those insane breaks. You know, and do those insane climbs, but you don't have that now. The race is so hard now. They're literally like, if you're watching this, and I mean, I was watching with my wife the other day and we were watching them go up the climb and they were at full sprint, man. And like, it's, you're at your full, absolute, your heart's beating out of your chest, and the people then are having to attack from that. You know, it's just the racing is so fast now, and the fact that they're doing all these lead outs up their climbs is just insane. I remember doing Tour of California and going up, you know, racing up Gibraltar, and it was just, you know, everyone thinks that, oh, you ride chill to the climb and then the climbers go. It's like, no, it's a full-on race the climb. Yeah, a full-on lead out, like you're battling, banging bars, like
those dudes can elbowing, do everything,
like having to do, because then it's all about positioning, starting that climb and literally drilling it from the bottom and sprinting up. I mean, I remember looking up and seeing Teo sprinting.
Teo's a Bernal. Closet sprinter. He's a closet sprinter. No, him Teo's and Bernal, really man. Aggressive. But yeah, no, but, I mean, I just think it goes to show, like, all the people who, like, oh, I'm going to be a climber and I only have to ride climbs and you have to go up hard uphill. Or, oh, I'm only going to be a sprinter and I only have to sprint and I don't have to go hard uphill. Like, nah, man. Like, you have to be able to do everything.
I never got that. Like, because I always also enjoyed, like, doing, like, some of those like, oh, yeah. You know, cobble races.
Liked fighting.
And, like, I loved fighting, being up there in the front. And, like, so I always thought it was some, maybe, like, just kind of a stereotypical thing. And, I mean, it's also totally a labeling thing, dude. Because they did that so much. I mean, I feel like that was, like, a thing where the early days after Lance, it was, like, always being labeled a GC rider and always being labeled, like, oh, you know, oh, you're the next Lance, you know, this. So you've then focused on GCs and climbers aren't focused, where I think it just needs to be. And I think it's starting to gear more towards that, towards just these pure racers. You know, you got the Remcos, you got, you know, the Alaphilippes, the people who are, like, really these just, like, the sprints.
Or the Valverdes, man.
I mean, he's been doing it forever, you know. Yeah. It was funny because I feel like bike racing was like that, where you had to be an all, you know, round racer like Merckx. And then it really specified, you know, to where it was like, you know, Miguel Indurain was these, you know, wanted just off the time trials basically, you know, and it was this pure time trialist. And, you know, Cancellara was pure time trialist. And then you had pure climbers, and where now it's basically just all around bike racer. You're an all around bike racer.
Anyway. Okay. Next stage. Cool. Finally, mountains.
Dude,
that they even raced on.
My favorite.
It was a good stage. So, this was a stage. Do you race Nons Peters when you were last year?
In 2013? Well, I probably, what was he on? Chambéry?
Yeah.
So there's probably a good chance. Honestly,
He did Lavenir. No, not as last year. We would have done Lavenir with him in 2015, I think.
Okay.
But I definitely raced Nons Peters quite a bit that year. He was good, but it's funny because he's won like two mountain stages of Grand Tours now. He was like a total classics guy back then.
I mean, he's not like a mountain guy. Like, you look at him and he's
a mountain guy.
Yeah, but he's built. I mean, again, we
did
were
you
just
see what he
about,
did to
know,
Ilner
Zakarin?
Did you see what
oh
he
my
did
gosh, yeah. He's but I mean, that also guy. Had a lot to do with that descent, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Zakarin is just, that was crazy. It was unreal.
So let's say this dude, they went, I don't know if you looked at so Pogačar put his Strava on, or his power on his Strava file. So you could actually see how ridiculously fast that they went.
What was it?
So they broke the record on the Paris
Sword. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
They broke the record on the Paris Sword from like 2000. Hold on. I think I have the data here. Because
like
I screenshot
45
it.
Seconds, wasn't it?
It was just absurd. Yeah. It was something. It'd be like Mayo and Lance and all those dudes back in the day. Like,
oh my
they
gosh.
Went ridiculously quick. But so he put his Strava on there. So on the Porta Baez. He did 46 minutes, 56 seconds. It's a 12-mile climb, so like 20Ks. And he did it at 380. So I looked on his pro cycling stats.
What's he weigh?
65 kilos.
Oh.
So he
was that 145?
Yeah.
That's like something like that.
So that's approximately 5.8 watts per kilo for 46, 47 minutes. after having already raced for a solid 2 hours.
Five days.
And then the next climb, he averaged on the Perry Sword to break the record 6.5 watts per kilo.
The final climb.
He averaged 6.5 watts per kilo, 4:28 for 24 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's incredible. What
that's on in earth? At the end of a stage, the first week basically in the tour.
In his attack? Yeah,
oh my gosh. When he rode away from Quintana and Rogelik, So
his attack was I think I saw somewhere someone broke down like the power curve, and it was something like 460 for five minutes. So it's like seven watts per kilo. Man.
That's what I'm telling everyone.
There are levels to this. Remember how do you remember how when we were like U23s and stuff? We were like, oh man, if you do 6 watts per kilo, you can like win anything. That was like the golden number. That was a golden number, like 6 watts per kilo, right?
I remember talking to Ian Boswell at Tour of California, and just because I was like, it was on this path where Team Sky was just always ripping it, and that was the first race with Bernal really rolling. And like, he was like, dude, ever since, because when he went with pro, when he turned pro, it was like way chill. Guys would give breakaways like, you know, 10 minutes, 8 minutes. And you used to see it all the time in the tour, you know, it'd be these crazy breakaways and they'd easily pull it back at the end where, you know, they're just going so hard now. It's, I mean, like you said, it's the speed, the level. It used to be 6 watts per kilo and you were a Tour de France rider. Now that's a normal Zwifter. Like,
well, that's, dude, yeah, I mean, you're doing 6 watts per kilo. You can be in the Tour de France, but like,
but
you better be doing it after stage seven or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's the difference. Is it's not a 120 minute, it's not going out there and doing a 45 minute interval on your favorite local climb and being like, oh yeah, I did 380, I could, it's no, all right, now go do that four more times that day and then do it six more days in a row, you know. Okay. Like back
unreal.
To back
unreal, so impressive.
So, and really, that seeing those numbers is just crazy, and for everyone who's going to love those numbers.
And he obviously won, right? But he put 40 seconds or something into the GC group. But, I mean, it's not a surprise that, like, everyone was like, oh, well, no one's attacking on this, besides, like, Projekar or whatever. Like, yeah, of course no one's attacking. They were doing 6.4 watts per kilo behind. Like,
that's honestly like
no one's attacking it, because they're going so fast.
Some of those commentators, man, just it's crazy, you know. Like,
they're looking at each other. No, they're all just going full gas. But
they're
it's just
literally balls to the wall, like breathing out of their like freaking blood vessels.
But that's why days like the day before and the crosswind are so important now, because all these guys are climbing at that level, like relatively like so high that the difference is going to get made. Well, I mean, like, Roglic is leading the race right now by, like, 20-something seconds, and it's all-time bonuses.
That's what's super impressive is, like you said, the racing has gone back to kind of the crosswinds and those days that are the real-time days, because their attacks, they're at such a high level now.
They're getting, like, 10,
you'll see them.
Seconds.
They're, like, yeah, they'll be, like, 3 seconds ahead of each other going full gas and then gaining 15 seconds at the end, and that's, like, a massive – and you're, like, you're kind of looking like, man, if you would actually target – those crosswind days, that's where you're really going to make those minutes. Cause I mean, if you got those GC guys in an unmotivated group, dude, all of a sudden you're losing 5-6 minutes to the, you know, people. So I wonder if it'll actually kind of start turning those tides or tactics towards that direction of like, all right, we've built the climbing to where it's just whoever's the fastest. Now it's actually going to be more tactics towards.
Oh, I think it's already like that. That's why they don't go to the tour without like at least like 3 big boys.
Yeah, that's true. That's totally true.
But yeah, wow. Like, I saw those numbers and I thought it was super incredible. Cool that he put those up there, because I think it's nice for everyone to see. Even though it's like a little bit shocking, I can think it's just like kind of cool. Yeah, nuts. That day, Quintana looked super good to me also.
Yeah.
Now, the following day, he didn't look as good. And that was the day Sepulgitar won. Hershey did that ridiculous ride.
Yeah, Hershey was...
You on some baby duty over there?
No, yeah, sorry, I had to just make sure everything was good. All right. No, yeah, because that stage was, I mean, that was insane, because he, I've loved watching it, the race start from the beginning, because that's always, I mean, knowing from experience, that's the hardest part, basically, man.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing that, you know, them race full gas up that and trying many times with these groups, and then for Hershey to go solo, and also knowing, like, it was a short day, that was something at when I had my Colorado Classic, like, results, like, knowing that that day was, like, all right, this is only going to be 60K, 100 miles, yeah. Or I forget, whatever, 100K, 60, I don't know. But you 100K. knew, like, you could do that. You're like, oh, I could do that, you know, that's 3 hours. Or so Hershey knew, and man, he looks just like Cancellara, man. Like, I mean, he's, what?
Well, he's much smaller.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, an engine, man. And just blew, I mean, to hold, he's such a young guy, and to be able to hold them off, like, well, not, I mean, sadly, not till the end, but that was... Because, I mean, if you were to turn on that race and see him near the end, you'd be like, oh, yeah, he went solo, but it was solo from the very beginning. And how he bombed those descents, man, in the rain. In the rain. And he instantly, I mean, that was, we also know, like, dude, if you have the balls to do that, you're instantly going to get the gap. And you saw he instantly built his gap from 1 minute to 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it wasn't like they were going easy behind him. Like, so I'm going through Pogačar's Strava again. The first big climb that they did in the middle of the stage, smack in the middle of the stage, like where you would think nothing was happening. He did 400 watts for 34 minutes.
400 so, watts. Wow.
That's about, again, like 6.2 watts per kilo.
Incredible. Incredible. In the middle of the stage.
Just like, in the just, middle.
Just
casual.
Yeah. With some people, and that's the other thing. Some people might think, oh, once the brake's off, everyone chills, rides easy. No, their level, again, is just so high. And, I mean, yeah, that day was hard because they were also putting pressure on. But still, like, the second climb early on, a lot of times people think the races, you know, you can just sit on or whatever. But you obviously can't.
No, they were still rolling. I mean, that is no joke. And I remember when I turned – I mean, it must have eased off because the group was quite big when I started watching.
Yeah.
But – and then that next climb they did, the climb before the Mary Blanc, they didn't tap it. I mean, they went pretty quick again. Which, and that's where Wout started pulling.
Yeah, yeah.
And Haysink was pulling, and man, like,
incredible.
But then some more fun numbers. So that guy on that last climb did again 4:20 for 25 minutes from bottom to top, and for the last.
Gosh.
15 minutes, so for the steep section of that climb, it was 2.5 miles, 12%. He did 4:40.
Wow.
So it's like 6.7 watts per kilo.
Just keeps going up.
What?
Incredible.
What?
That's so high. That's
and he didn't even drop everybody.
No. That's nuts.
But, yeah, so, I mean, there's some numbers for you. So, like, yeah, 6.7, that'll get you in the front group of the tour. But you have to do it on stage 8 after having gone full gas the day before and the day before that.
Yeah,
every day. What on earth, man? Incredible. He averaged for the whole stage 300. Like, so it was, like, a pretty hard. Weighted average power was 344. So, yeah, I mean, like, they're not tapping.
It's been a great race, man. I think... Having
you know, it seemed really boring to me.
Really,
it did really seem boring to me. But the last 2-3 days, thankfully for Pogačar, I think that if it wasn't for Pogačar, I think that Jumbo Visma would have it locked down. I think that he is a wild card. I think that I mean, Quintana cracked a little bit this day, which I was a little bit surprised about.
Yeah, it's great seeing though him. I mean, back up, kind of, you know, remotivated and.
He looks good.
It'd be cool to see him on the podium, honestly.
Yeah. Landa looked good to me. Again, like, he lost time. I think you're right. I don't think he'll be a podium guy. I think he'd be like fifth.
Yeah. But
he looks good, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won a stage. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Pogačar won. Hershey nearly won, which was awesome. But yeah, it was really good. It was a really good stage.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I enjoyed, like, it's not often you get to see, like, the numbers that those dudes are doing to win. So there you go. Like,
big props. Go give him a follow. What's that on Strava? You saw that?
On Strava. He's got
go give him a follow.
It's cool.
Yeah. You can follow him, see his training and his racing. So that's pretty sweet.
He doesn't look like he uploads everything, but he's been uploading the cool stuff. So awesome. That's all you really want to see. But yeah. All right. So I have a couple hot takes now.
Let's do it.
So my hot take is Sagan does not win the green jersey. I don't think that's that hot anymore, but
no,
I don't think he wins.
No.
I still think Bernal is going to win.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I actually, honestly.
It's also not that hot. He's like the second favorite. But I think Bernal will win.
I could see that too, because I think just Team Sky, they're not dumb, man. And everyone's been acting like they're dumb. Like everyone's been playing them this tour. Like, but dude, they know what they're doing. They've won so many Grand Tours. They know what they're doing. They're not going to bring.
If you remember,
they're not going to bring him to that race and leave Thomas and Froome home. And like,
if they're not 100% confident.
Yeah, and they always. I don't. I just feel like they're a team now that they are at such a level that they're never going to bring a leader there. That's not like the only way something's going to happen is if something a mechanical or you know something were to happen like that. You know, because I think. I agree. I think he actually will come, you know, the final mountain stages and really kind of blow everyone off. But
I mean, that's what happened last year. He wasn't great in the Pyrenees. He was Pino was whooping him.
Yeah, yeah.
Alaphilippe was honestly beating him. Like, and then it came time to go to the Alps, and yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the last few stages of kind of like the next couple of days are like windy flat days, so
yeah.
It could be still interesting.
Yeah, we'll be able to kind of see that.
Some stage 12 is a little bit lumpy. He has a couple lumpy days until stage 13 has a good little like kicker finish, but I still think that will be like it's like a kicker. It's not going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be like an Alaphilippe thing, or maybe what do you think? Even like a Sagan.
Probably like a Wout day.
A Wout day, yeah. Honestly, with how he's.
I think it's too hard for Sagan. I think it'll be a
Wout day. Wout day. But, that's every Wednesday. Wout day.
Yeah. So I think between stage 15. I think stage 15 is the day you see, and stage 17. I think Bernal wins one of those two stages, and we'll have another podcast, I guess, before stage 17. But
plus that guy, and also in all the interviews and all the like, he just sounds so confident, like just. Way confident, you know what I mean? And I think they're smart in action. I think Team Sky and Ineos or what it Granada Ineos Grenadiers. So I think they're smart in actually seeing what we're seeing, that everyone is coming into the tour crazy hot and is just kind of blow their doors away right from the beginning. And that's why we've seen such close gaps on the mountain stages, is everyone's so like gung-ho to go for it and crush it. And I think we're going to really see that final week and
yeah, I have,
see those final stages where, like, because again, he hasn't been on the attack. I mean, once. He hasn't attacked once or, like, really been. He's poked his nose, like, but he hasn't ever, like, the other
day. No, he's hanging on.
The other day, I didn't even think he was there, honestly.
He's hanging on.
I forgot that his white jersey was on him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I thought he was gone. And yeah. I was shocked. I was looking for things on the internet, but. I think he's just kind of playing the sneaky move, honestly, because like here you have guys like, you know, Pogačar, Wout, Roglic, everyone who's kind of been taking the media attention away. And finally, I feel like Ineos is just like, thank you. Like, thank you for not just looking to Lotto, you know, thank you for looking to, you know, Jumbo Visma instead of looking for us, you know, finally, you know. And so I think they're kind of, but I don't, they also might not be as strong. Who knows? Maybe we're wrong, but.
That's why
we're doing this, to talk about it.
I think stage 15 is when Bernal shows up to the race.
I guess we're gonna have to wait and see and talk about it next
Sunday,
man. So
and for sure stage 17 Bernal wins.
There you
for
have
sure
it.
I'll find wherever I can put money on it. That's who I'm betting money on for that day.
I'm still hoping that Roglic will pull it off, just so Sepp, his first tour is real special.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That would be, and he's just put, you know, he's such a cool guy. And
if I had a heart pick, honestly, if my heart pick would be pleasure car.
Oh yeah, that would be amazing.
I actually think it would be pretty sick if Lando won it, but I don't think he will. But yeah, it would be pretty cool.
But well, anyway. I guess we'll see. So we'll see. No, man. Hey, this was fun. I got a jet. Go get dinner already with the family. But hey, everyone. I hope you guys loved our tour kind of recap and updates. It was awesome. We had a good time, and yeah, join us for two other episodes of the tour, and because it's definitely fun to chat with old T Will about bike racing and tactics and, you know, just all that.
Yeah. No, it's a good time. Hopefully this next week is a little more exciting. I think it will be. I think it will be for sure. So
hopefully we get a little bit more, keep getting a little bit more.
Hopefully the tour is still going tomorrow, actually.
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing I guess we got to find is that's the scary thing is with the test happening tomorrow. And that's the thing that kind of sucks is with someone, if they might be, you know, might not even show signs or symptoms or even really carry it, or they might just be a carrier. And, you know, that could be one of the GC guys, you know, not feeling symptoms. And
if there's too many guys and they just shut down the whole tour.
That's the other thing. I mean, what if it shuts down? That's a 10-day or 7-day race. And I mean, that's.
And Sepp wins his first tour.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. But I guess we'll see. Everyone, we'll see you tomorrow.
Cool. Ciao.
Awesome. Hey, thanks again to you, Will. We'll catch you guys later. Ciao.